The Fox City Score chapter and WHBY are pleased to bring you Biz Talk. Join Tony and Randy as they talk with entrepreneurs and professionals who share their experiences from starting to sustaining growth. Learn the skills needed for your business to be successful and get interactive by calling 281-1150. If you missed anything, you can catch the Biz Talk podcast at www.biztalkwithscore.com. And now, from the Myron Construction Studio, it's Biz Talk on WHBY.
Good morning and welcome to Biz Talk. We're really glad you joined us this morning. My name is Tony Bush in the studio this morning with Pat Lowney.
Lowney, yes.
Good morning, Pat.
Hi, Tony.
How are you? It's been a while.
It has been.
Yeah.
Good to see you.
Thanks. It's good to be back. And we have a great show for you this morning. Our guest is Sarah DeBruin. Sarah is the owner of Legal Business Edge, LLC, a successful small law firm here in Appleton that specializes in business law and estate planning. And we're happy to acknowledge Sarah as a sponsor of BizTalk and a Good Score supporter. So we're going to be talking to Sarah in just a minute. We just want to tell you quickly that the show is brought to you each weekend by the Fox City Score Chapter, located in Appleton. And during our program, we're going to tell you a little bit more about what our Score Chapter does, the activities we have, and we're also recruiting mentors. So as you're listening to the program, if you have an interest, we can answer those questions as well. So without further ado, good morning, Sarah DeBruin. Glad to have you at the show this morning.
Good morning, Tony and Pat. Happy to be here.
Yep. Sarah, tell us a little bit about you and your background and your firm, where you're located, what's your phone number, how do folks reach you?
Sure. The name of my firm is Legal Business Edge, LLC. It's on North Mead Street, right south of Northland Avenue in Appleton. I've been practicing in my own firm since 2011. I specialize in business law, contracts, you mentioned estate planning, commercial, residential, real estate, franchise law, intellectual property law, which is trademarks, copyrights, and patents. I have been practicing since law school. I started out first in a very large firm and did business law in a large firm environment. Then I was in-house general counsel for 10 years for a local manufacturing company before I started my own firm here in Appleton.
Well, it sounds like you really enjoy what you do.
I do. I do now, yeah. Yes.
Yep. And you have an assistant, Jan?
Yes, I have a wonderful assistant whose background she is an attorney as well, but she is no longer holding her license. She has a very special background in banking law, which is what I also practice, in commercial and residential real estate law, as well as estate planning and bankruptcy law.
Mm-hmm. Well, it sounds like a very busy practice, and I know you're good at what you do. And again, thank you from SCORE for all that you do for our SCORE chapter.
Very happy to do it. It's always, always enjoyable to work with small business owners and people who have their dream business they want to build.
Well, today you wanted to talk a little bit about succession planning, estate planning, and if you're a business owner, how do you approach that topic? It's something that needs to be addressed, and the earlier the better. But those are some of the things you wanted to talk about this morning?
Yeah, that's correct, because I've started thinking about, even in my own business, succession planning. As an attorney or any other kind of professional, you really have to have an exit plan, because you have clients that you take care of, and you have to have a plan for them in case something would suddenly happen to me. I'm the sole lawyer in my firm right now. I hope that's going to change in a year or two, but you need to take care of those clients and have a plan for what is going to happen to all of those files. And the same is true with any business owner, particularly if you're a sole member of an LLC and you have a business, you should have a succession plan. What many people need to realize, too, is Wisconsin is a marital property state. So that means, as an LLC owner, your spouse, if you're married, owns half of that LLC membership. So if something would happen to the LLC owner, there should be a succession plan in place that enables the business to be valued at a certain value, because what is going to happen is your surviving spouse will come in and own the entire business when they've had nothing to do with it for 20 years. So there should be some succession plan on how to value that business, perhaps to sell it or to dissolve the LLC, for instance.
If you have a question for Sarah this morning, you can call us at the phone number here in the studio, 281-1150. That's 920-281-1150. And if you're outside the Appleton area, you can use the TDS Metricom toll-free line, 866-887-1150.
Sarah, that succession also applies to actually how to run the business. So if a spouse takes over and they haven't been involved in the business, somebody might have to keep that going on a day-to-day basis until you can sell it.
Right, absolutely. And that's really particularly true. Say you have two members of an LLC, and each of them brings an individual expertise or piece of business. And I'm dealing with a client right now where that's very true, that if one member of this LLC has a specialty in a certain area, but the other member has a specialty in another area that complements, you know, the entire LLC. If something would happen to the one of those members, the surviving spouse would come in, own those membership units, or in the case of a corporation, own the stock, and that surviving spouse would have to either learn how to run the company or have a way to have the company redeem the ownership or buy back the ownership of that surviving spouse who now owns the deceased spouse membership units or stock. But yes, you're right. It's how to keep the company going. And I'm seeing more and more that owners of businesses are putting a value on the membership ownership, or they're putting in place very specific plans for evaluating their membership share.
Specific formulas.
Yeah, there's formulas you can use. For instance, you can go to two or three independent appraisers, get an average, and that's going to be a price at which the other owner, the surviving owner, may buy out the surviving spouse if the surviving spouse isn't going to come in and run the company, help run the company.
Oftentimes, business owners, the surviving business owner, will have a difficult time funding the purchase of the deceased estate interests in the company.
Right.
What are some strategies to be able to do that instead of just going to the bank and asking for another $500,000?
Well, it's normally, like in the example I just gave, where one member has a very specific expertise, the other member has a specific expertise, and that member passes away. Well, the company's worth maybe 40% what it used to be. So if you place a value on the company, or you have this formulation in your succession planning on how the business will continue after one of the members or the shareholders die, one of the strategies that I advise for small businesses is to have the company purchase life insurance policies on the owners, on the members or the stockholders. The company would buy the policy. The company would be the beneficiary of the life insurance policy if one of those members dies, and then the company would have the funds to buy out that surviving spouse's ownership units or stock, so the company can keep going.
Mm-hmm. In my lending background, I had a lot of situations like that where a mom and pop owned a business. And occasionally one of the guy was usually the operator of the business, and the wife was the spouse, and she owned some of it, but she really didn't know how to run the company.
Right.
So we would use the proceeds so that the wife would have money to be able to hire someone with the expertise to come in and run the company, until maybe the children were old enough, because they were that close to
that's another
over the
route.
Company.
Yep, yeah. That's another route to do, instead of just redeeming that stockholder's shares or the company buying back the membership units. That's a very good option as well.
But planning for succession is something that should start right out of the gate. It ought to be sitting in the back of your mind as a business owner, and you need to be thinking about what's going to happen if. And it's going to happen.
Correct.
It's
correct.
Just when it's going to happen. And you want to make life as easy as possible for the rest of your family and the other owners in the company. business owners also have a fiduciary responsibility. Now, it's not a legal responsibility as much as it is a moral responsibility for the well-being of the company, because how many employees' families rely on the decisions made by that business owner?
Right.
There's a real loyalty. When you talk to business owners today, it's amazing, and it's good news how many care about their employees.
Well, that's particularly true in small businesses.
Absolutely.
Because they become such a close-knit group of people.
Absolutely.
That you do want to make sure your company keeps going in the event of one member dying and say you have 3-4 employees, families who depend on that business. It's an important thing to have in your business plan. And once you start going into succession planning, it also ties into your personal estate planning. That's important as well, too.
And this is an easy thing that can get forgotten as you're in the hustle and bustle of building your business, starting out building your business, and then you keep saying, well, you know what, I'll do this at the end of the year, and all of a sudden you realize 3 years have gone by. So you really need to get on this as quickly, like Tony was saying, as quickly as you can, and start planning what is your exit, even though you're in a startup phase even.
Sure. And then especially, say you've been running for 5 years and you've become pretty successful and you do have those 2 or 3 employees that depend upon your business. A succession plan there's no specific age where you should start it. You should almost start it from the beginning of your business to as part of your growth plan. What is the projection for your company? Is your goal to obtain other owners? To expand your business, to grow, and then once you do that, what happens if suddenly, you know, one of the members or one of the shareholders is gone? That's an important piece of business planning right from the beginning.
So it's real common in a partnership to put a partnership agreement together, which will spell out then if something happens how one partner leaves and how the other partner continues on.
Right.
This should actually be part of your planning too. Whether you're a sole member of an LLC or you're a C-Corp of stock, how are we going to separate when the time comes?
Right, and typically, when you start a company, you'd have bylaws, if you're a corporation, that would govern the running of the company and then the succession of deceased shareholders' stock. The same with an operating agreement in an LLC. If you have more than one member, you have an operating agreement that governs the operating of the company, as well as what happens in the event of a spouse or a member dying and that spouse coming in, that spouse's shares, membership units being redeemed, or in the event of a separation of a marriage. That's another plan you need to be put in place in an operating agreement or the bylaws or a partnership agreement as well.
With that, we're going to take our first break. We'll come back on the other side, continue our discussion with Sarah DeBruin of Legal Business Edge, LLC. You're listening to BizTalk on 1150 WHBY and 103.5 FM.
At Alberts & Hailing CPAs, your success is our success. We can clarify any tax situation and help your business take the steps in managing it confidently. We offer services from startup to sell-off, including payroll, bookkeeping, accounting, and more. Visit AlbertsHaling.com today. Alberts & Hailing. Personal connections. Positive results. Securities and advisory services offered through Woodbury Financial Services, Inc. Member FINRA, SIPC. Tax and accounting services offered through Alberts & Hailing CPAs, which is not affiliated with Woodbury Financial.
Welcome back to Biz Talk. We're talking this morning with Sarah DeBruin, owner and practicing attorney with Legal Business Edge, LLC. We're talking about estate planning and valuating a business and preparing for selling the company or preparing for the event of a death of one of the owners of the company. And we're going to continue our conversation with Sarah in just a moment, but first I'd like to tell you a little bit about our SCORE chapter. We are the Fox City SCORE chapter. We're located in the Fox City's Chamber Building. They've been a great landlord for us, and we really appreciate their support for over 41 years. But we are not associated with the Fox Cities Chamber. We're actually associated with a national organization called SCORE. There are probably 350 chapters around the country, about 11 or 12,000 volunteers, like Pat Lowney and Sarah and me, who offer advice free counsel to entrepreneurs who are starting or growing their companies, or they may have an issue they need to deal with in their company. Maybe there's an opportunity, they don't know how to take advantage of it. Or maybe the bank is getting really mean and nasty. Or perhaps we have some HR issues or production challenges. We have SCORE mentors in our chapter, about 50 volunteers going in our chapter who range in expertise from marketing, accounting, legal, HR, banking cash flow, IT, intellectual properties. If you have a question about your business or an opportunity your business is facing, you don't know quite how to tackle that, check us out at foxcities.score.org, foxcities.score.org. Fill out the request for mentoring assistance, and a mentor will be contacting you within about 24 hours to set up your first appointment. It's all free, no-cost mentoring, and it's confidential. And just a little plug for anyone who might be interested in providing such services, we are recruiting mentors. So if you're interested in becoming a mentor and a member of our chapter, you can reach us at foxcities.score.org. One last point, our chapter covers an 8-county area from Appleton to Oshkosh to Fond du Lac. And we have little offices in Oshkosh, Fond du Lac, and Appleton. So no matter where you're located, you can really get some really good benefits by dealing with Fox City SCORE. So getting back to Sarah talking about estate planning and preparing for when you might sell a company or it might be accelerated by a death in the family or something. Sarah, you talked about valuations, and valuations are kind of like getting an appraisal on a house, and you get one number, and maybe that's not a good number. What advice do you have for getting a valuation?
Sure. It's a lot more complicated than a house, because obviously right. In a house you have, you know, assessed values by the city or town or county yep. or whatever, but valuations of a business can be done in a number of different ways. There are accountants who specialize in valuing businesses. There are M&A, mergers and acquisition specialists, and brokers that can be used to give a valuation or determine a valuation of a business. And there are several ways they do it. They may base it upon the fair market value of a business, which is comparing one business to a similar business. The other way is evaluating a business based on revenue. And what I've seen often is that a revenue basis is not necessarily a good way to do it, because the revenue may be so high that the surviving member of the LLC or the surviving stockholder can't afford to pay out half of that revenue into the surviving spouse. But typically what I see happening is you get two or three of these different valuations and you average them, and your operating agreement, your succession plan, or your bylaws of your corporation would say that these three should be averaged, and that would be the amount of the valuation that would be agreed upon.
Another common term is EBITDA.
Yes.
Earnings before interest, taxes, depreciation,
and
amortization.
That's another way to, sure,
yep.
sure. That's another way to do it.
Yep.
And that's a ratio.
And it really gets complicated, because there are trends in business cycles. There are different types of peer groups that will perform better or worse than your company does.
Right.
So you really have to look out for all those things, but set up those formulas, right?
Right. Absolutely. Absolutely. And I see more and more in especially a two-member LLC, it's perfectly fine to come up with a value that is a definite number. And then every year you have the right to change that number.
Make
say you grew, then. Say you your some of your business went away. And you can change that number in your succession plan every year. But that would be an agreed upon amount, and that would also help if your company was going to be buying life insurance on the members of the owners.
Right.
You know, they would know how much life insurance to purchase.
It's not uncommon either sometimes for one owner to be a little more valuable than another owner either.
Correct. Correct. Yeah. Yes. Especially if you have two different owners with two different specialties, and they come together, you know, and say one owner is worth 60% and the other owner is worth 40%.
Even when they might have 50% ownership
right.
each.
Right.
You realize that that one owner brings a little bit more, which brings in more customers, more revenue.
And what happens when that owner dies? Okay, the business is worth 60% less than it was.
Right.
So that's why a lot of business owners will just place a value on that member's ownership to pay out to the spouse.
What are some examples, Sarah, if, say, I own my company and I have two other partners or three of us, and we just don't do any of this stuff. We're not going to do any of this. We don't have time for it. It's too expensive. What are some dangers we're facing?
Well, there's a lot of dangers because we're a marital property state. You could have a spouse who comes in and wants to take over her surviving spouse's, her or his surviving spouse's position in the company, and they know nothing about it.
Yoko?
Yeah. And then there are situations about divorce. I mean, owners get divorced. And then all of a sudden you're having a hostile spouse trying to come in and take her percentage or his percentage of the ownership and saying, I want to start running the company.
The divorce proceedings might go to the point where the husband, the wife is the partner and the husband is the spouse and not involved in the company. And she says the company's worth $100,000. He says, no, it's worth $1 million.
Yes,
and now
absolutely.
You, now you
it's
get
a
into
nightmare.
This battle, and it draws the other two partners into his divorce.
It not only makes the divorce more expensive, but obviously
the
it's a huge expense to the business.
Distraction, and definitely
a big expense for the business.
So the best protection is to be proactive.
Right. Have an operating agreement if you're an LLC.
Where do you get an operating agreement?
Well, an operating agreement, you could come to me.
But an attorney should help you with that.
Definitely. Attorneys have the right language that helps you deal
they
with
know the
especially,
law too.
Especially because it's a marital property state,
yeah.
How to handle those situations upon death of a spouse or death of an owner, retirement of an owner, how that owner can retire. And also the dissolution of a marriage, either by, you know, divorce or some kind of or separation.
Yep. With that, we're going to take our second break. We'll come back on the other side. We'll continue our conversation with Sarah DeBruin of Legal Business Edge. You're listening to Biz Talk on 1150 WHBY and 103.5 FM.
Are you feeling less than confident in your personal or business finances? At Albertson Hailing CPAs, we work with individuals and small business owners to simplify finances and help maximize profits. From asset protection to tax planning and more, we'll guide you through a financial plan. Visit AlbertsHailing.com today. Albertson Hailing. Personal connections. Positive results. Securities and advisory services offered through Woodbury Financial Services, Inc. Member FINRA SIPC. Tax and accounting services offered through Albertson Hailing CPAs, which is not affiliated with Woodbury Financial.
Fox Communities Credit Union.
You found the new house you love.
Oh, this place is amazing.
So, what do you do next? Come to Fox. It's the first step towards your new home happy dance.
Oh, yeah, this house is ours.
Yes!
Get the best loan rates, local servicing, and step-by-step home buying assistance from the mortgage lending experts at Fox Communities Credit Union. With Fox, you can get more home with lower payments, faster loan payoff with bi-weekly payment options, and help from local experts who are as excited as you are to help you get the home of your dreams.
Guess what? You got the loan.
And you can get a home loan with as little as 3% down payment. Talk to Fox and do your new home happy dance.
See how Fox can help you with 22 locations and loan experts that make it easy.
Equal housing opportunity lender. Apply online today. Visit foxcu.org.
Fox Communities.
Welcome back to Biz Talk. We're talking this morning with Sarah DeBruin of Legal Business Edge, LLC. We're talking about estate planning and how to transfer ownership of a business in the event of retirement or death or some sort of cessation of activity, might be divorce or something. If you have a question for us, please give us a call at 281-1150. Sarah would be very happy to answer your question, 281-1150. If you're outside Appleton, you can reach us on the TDS Metricom toll-free line, 866-887-1150. Before we get back to Sarah, we were telling you a little bit about our SCORE chapter in the first segment, or in the second segment, and Pat's going to share a little bit about what the SCORE chapter does in addition to the free, no-cost mentoring confidential mentoring we do, we also conduct other learning experiences. Pat,
we do.
Coming up.
We are very strong in educating our small business clients. And one of the things that we've got coming up in March, on March 13th, is a session called Strategy for Small Business or Nonprofits. And this is going to be March 13th from 6 to 8 p.m. It's going to be at the SCORE office, which is in the basement of the Foxy's Chamber Building at 125 North Superior Street in Appleton. If you'd like to find out more about this, go to foxcities.score.org. You can find out more about this session. You can sign up for it there. But this also fits in real well with the discussion we're having this morning about how do you start these planning sessions and start thinking about things like that. This is what this educational session is all about, is to get you to start thinking about the things you have to plan to not only grow your business but also survive your business if the unforeseen actually happens to you. So,
yep. Who's doing the presenting, Pat?
Terry Pinch, who is a mentor with us. Terry's got 30 years of experience in strategic planning with large multinational companies and also working with small business clients. So he's perfect for this.
Yeah, and he's very approachable.
Yes.
He goes to the level of understanding of the client.
Yes.
So it'll be a great session. How many people, is there a cost to this?
There's a cost of $25 per person. And, it's 2 hours and you're going to get a lot of good
information.
Starts
at 6 o'clock?
Starts at 6 o'clock on March 13th.
Got it.
So I'd like to go back on the last segment that we were talking about and also talk about the value of bringing like an attorney like yourself, Sarah, into these discussions is the fact that you take the emotion out of all of this discussion. So if you've got owners or you've got a spouse of someone who's passed away or a divorce happens or something like that, there's going to be a lot of emotion flying around amongst these people who've got strong vested interests. So a third party like yourself can come in here without the emotion and help guide people through all the things that they've got to think about.
Yeah, absolutely. I think it's very important to engage an attorney in that type of situation. And in another situation, as I was thinking over the break, is you may be a single, non-married owner of an LLC, and you've built up this company or, you know, a corporation, you've built it up to pass it along to your children and say, in my situation, two of my kids, I have six children, two of them become lawyers and they come into my firm and my four other kids are doing something else and I'm single, my husband's passed away, and what happens? I give my property equally to my six children, but two children are involved in the business. That's another sort of very emotional, obviously, situation where that's why you would want the succession plan. That's why you would want an operating agreement and a determination of value for your company. Definitely.
That's key value, because the two kids not working in a law firm are saying, I have just as much right to mom's inheritance as you do, even though you're working in it.
Right.
So you can get an income out of the company. I'm not getting that, but I should have equity in the company.
Sure. And then the children who are in the company need to keep it running, and they need to have the capital to keep it running, and they have a vested interest because it's their livelihood.
And there are formulas to deal with this. There are other organizations in the state who can advise their family business organizations in the state that can help members of a family cope with these questions and challenges. But the key is to try to approach this before the event happens.
Absolutely.
When everyone's got cooler minds, like Pat was saying, when the emotion is much less high, it's not as high as it will be when the event happens.
Yeah. You run into those issues a lot, too, in estate planning, when there are businesses that are passed along through an estate plan, through a will, or there are situations like ownership of cottages between children. Those are big issues that take a lot of emotional work to work out, and an attorney is really useful in that situation.
And while you talk about bigger families, you see very often where, as time goes on, different siblings take different routes in life, and they have different needs than 10, 20, 30 years later than they had when we're all together around the dinner table together and things. And you really do have to plan for those kinds of things of how you're going to fairly distribute.
Right. And a lot of it is just being upfront with your kids, first of all, in the first place before something happens. But the plan needs to be in place, because you never know, even how close knit of a family you are, what can happen if a $2 million company is at risk.
If you have a question for Sarah this morning, give us a call at 281-1150. You're in the studio, 281-1150. If you're outside the Appleton area, you can reach us at 866-887-1150. Sarah, a lot of business owners will object to this process. We've been covering some good ground. Oh, I can't do that. I don't have enough money for that. I don't have to do it yet. I got plenty of time. I'm only 48 years old or 52 years old. I got plenty of time. How do you respond to those objections? What's a good response that's good coaching for them to consider to rethink their approach?
Well, I would say to them, have you ever heard of a 50-year-old dropping over when they're jogging? Yeah, it happens all the time. Not necessarily that it's going to happen to you, but you want to look at protecting your spouse and protecting the interests of your children. And
preserving your business.
Right.
You worked hard to build the business.
You built up this business that has been the livelihood and support of your family. Your children need education, you know, funds. That's what you were working for. So those are the kinds of things you delicately, you know, work into the conversation. And you also would look at it from an estate planning standpoint. That's really important when you have these big important things like changes in your life. Your children are now grown. You don't need a will to say so-and-so is going to be their guardian, but you need a will to say what's going to happen to my property, and one of them is your business property.
So you talked a minute ago about discussing your situation with your children or your heirs or things like that. How important is this in the discussion that, you know, perhaps it's assumed because mom and dad have this business that's been successful that they have a significant amount of wealth, and they may have or not, but they also may have really good cash flow that they've been living on for a long period of time. And so everybody understands as you go along, you know, how much wealth do we really have built up in this? How much is cash flow with the parent that's gone now? Will that cash flow continue, those kinds of things in a planning process?
Definitely. That's key, because if you have only one spouse generating all that cash flow for the company, you want to have a way for the surviving family members to be taken care of, either through a succession plan and being bought out, you know, by the other owner, or a sale of the business. And that can be planned out through a written succession plan with just if you're the sole owner. And it can be addressed in an estate plan as well.
And I would bet that your banking relationship is going to be a little bit easier, too, when they see that you've put this stuff in place and you've got plans for what happens, because that's a fear they have, too.
Definitely. Definitely. If you have any type of line of credit or any types of loans, I know that. Personally, I know that the bank wants to have some type of succession plan in place, particularly if you're single member LLC.
Technically, when the borrower signs a note, when that individual of that LLC dies, that's an event of default.
Right.
That gives the bank the opportunity to accelerate the maturity date and collect the debt.
Right.
Not many do it, but it's an event of default. So that starts the process. And as you pointed out, Sarah, you should be ready to respond.
Right. All the more important for that business owner to have life insurance.
Exactly.
Purchased by the company. Because that could very well happen.
And have the formula set up and the distribution set up and the plan to implement when that event happens.
Right.
Yep. Because the banks don't want to foreclose, but if they're not going to be repaid, they're going to foreclose to protect the money that they took from the depositors to lend to the company.
And oftentimes you see as someone is nearing maybe retirement 5-6 years down the road, you bring in somebody under you to train you.
Yep.
And in my situation, I'm working with an attorney, Tom Sutter, who is on his way to retirement. We're not practicing together, but we office share. And some of his clients may be transitioning over to me. Obviously, it's up to the client, but that's one way, for instance, an attorney or a professional can transition their business.
Yep.
So what other, besides life insurance, what other things could someone look at as a way to finance maybe the transition?
I think having in place just reserves, you know, in the company, retaining earnings in the company to do that is really important as well. And like you said before, cash flow generation is so important to a business. And you want to have, I think, some of that cash flow kept inside the business.
It's also something that personally an owner should be paying attention to too, right? So that they make sure they've got the cash flow, they've got the savings or thing that they might need to inject into the business in order maybe to hold it or be able to buy that other side out.
Right. Absolutely. Absolutely. That's really important. And if you're two owners, you have two owners, you should always have a plan for distributions, but retaining a certain amount for that exact purpose, you're not going to take out distributions that will eventually bankrupt the company.
Correct.
For instance.
And in valuing a company, like a lender will look at the company and say, okay, you can borrow $500,000 because I know you can pay it back.
Right.
What the lender's looking at is the cash flow, the ability of that company to generate the cash flow to pay the loan back and keep other obligations in balance and in check as well.
Right.
So when someone is looking at the value of their company, it's going to be a big reflection of the ability of the company to generate cash flow.
Absolutely.
You could have two companies, same company, same assets, same building, same equipment. One generates more cash flow than the other one. That other guy's going to get more money than this other one's going to get.
Right, right. And that's the old adage, you're not going to get lent money unless you can prove you don't need it.
True. It's true. But when it comes to the reality of what is the value of my company going to be, EBITDA plays a very important role in that,
right,
as does the value of the real estate, the value of the equipment, the value of the customer list, the value, intangible value of their brand, like Ford's Oval is worth a lot of money.
Absolutely. That's where intellectual property comes in. I mean, in so many companies, like Apple,
for
instance. Yeah, or other companies. Yeah, they have the name and they have the trademark and they have the trade dress, and that's worth a lot.
But nobody knows it. Very, the smaller companies, they don't know what their brand is worth.
Right.
And that
right.
might be worth investigating as part of the valuation of a company.
Absolutely.
And then everyone in the family begins to appreciate just how hard Dad worked all those years to build that good company,
Sure. You think of local, just local restaurants. I'm thinking like JD's or, something like that. They have a very, very good reputation, very successful business. Or Tom's, that's a local drive-in. Those businesses have really goodwill built in the community, and that's a value on that for the family members.
Are there any specific assets in a company or a family that really require more attention to transfer than other assets? I mean, there's some things that you have to be more careful about, or
homes. Homes. They're really, when you have an estate, there's probate assets, which are all the personal property and things like that. There's beneficiary assets like your IRAs, life insurance policies, pension plans where you name your beneficiaries. And there are other payable on death assets, like you could have a bank account that's payable on death to or held as a joint account. Those things just transfer without probate. So business assets are somewhat the same way. The assets of my company, the hard assets of my company, are computers and computer backup systems and cameras and safety equipment and things like that. Those are things to have constant awareness of how much those values are, how much you depreciate them, and how much that is worth to the company as well.
And oftentimes you might have a different opinion is what the value is than somebody who's out on the street saying, this is what you can sell it for.
That's not the case.
Yeah. Well, a table's a table and a computer's a computer. But you may think, in your instance, in my instance, I may think, oh, my law practice is worth a lot. But it's only worth what clients I have right now. And a business, any other business is the same way. It's only worth as much cash flow and revenue that you're getting.
Now, EBITDA, earnings before interest, taxes, depreciation, amortization, is a term that a lot of people use to know what the business is worth.
Right.
But there are changing multiples. So like a newspaper, maybe 10, 20 years ago, the multiple might have been 13 times EBITDA.
Right.
Today, it might be one half of EBITDA.
Right. And in manufacturing, it changes a lot, too.
And EBITDA is one of those common formulas that reflects cash flow of a company. But you have to look at the multiples of the different industries at various times in the economy. And these business brokers and these accounting firms know those multiples.
Right. And that's important. Yeah.
And that's really important because a multiple of five is better than a multiple of three.
Right. Right.
And it gives the business owner a better opportunity to negotiate a better selling price if they understand that.
Right. And if you're savvy enough, you put that in your succession plan.
Exactly.
That, EBITDA is the number 8 to 1 or whatever is how you're going to be evaluating the business.
With that, we're going to take our last break on the program. We'll come back on the other side, and we're going to wrap up our conversation with Sarah DeBruin, owner of Legal Business Edge LLC in Appleton. And you're listening to BizTalk on 1150 WHBY and 103.5 FM.
I am attorney Sarah DeBruin, owner of Legal Business Edge, and I want you to know your options. Your legal business concerns are important to me. Legal Business Edge delivers value by working as a partner with you, our client, to help you understand your legal options. Focusing just on business law, we take the time to get to know your business and develop a legal strategy that will help you reach your business goals. Whether it involves intellectual property, contracts, negotiating for your rights, buying or selling a business, or organizing your business structure, Legal Business Edge gives you the creative legal options you need.
Sarah DeBruin provided our company solutions that saved us time and money, as the quality of her guidance and diligence provided creative solutions unparalleled by other attorneys.
Know your options. Call Legal Business Edge at 920-851-7761 or visit legalbusinessedge.com.
From ordinary tax concerns to extraordinary tax situations, let Alberts and Hayling CPAs help you through tax planning, business consulting from startup to sell-off, and more. We specialize in creating financial management plans for your business. Visit AlbertsHayling.com today. Alberts and Hayling, personal connections, positive results.
Securities and advisory services offered through Woodbury Financial Services, Inc., member FINRA, SIPC. Tax and accounting services offered through Alberts and Hayling CPAs, which is not affiliated with Woodbury Financial.
And welcome back to our final segment this morning on BizTalk. We're talking with Sarah DeBruin, owner and attorney with Legal Business Edge, LLC, where she advises her clients to know your options. We want to thank, as a SCORE chapter, we want to thank Sarah for being a sponsor of the program. She's been a great supporter of our SCORE chapter, and she is one of the sponsors we wanted to acknowledge in this segment. So, Sarah, thank you for
your
support.
You're very welcome.
We also want to thank Alberts and Hayling CPAs, Fox Communities Credit Union, and Wisconsin Business Development, or affectionately known as WBD. They are the experts in the state of Wisconsin in SBA lending. They do a lot of 504 lending under the SBA program, and they do a lot of, they really understand the 7A lending programs under the SBA programs as well. So I want to thank those sponsors for helping to bring the program to you each weekend. Two in-kind sponsors, Candeo Creative, that's Zach Pawlowski and Oshkosh, who built our website, biztalkwithscore.com. If you missed the program or you are thinking of wanting to re-listen to the wonderful wisdom Sarah imparted this morning, you can go back and check us out at biztalkwithscore.com. This show will be on by Wednesday this coming week, and we have archived shows now going back probably 6 years. And we also want to thank Business News, Jerry Mader and Larry Desch, for their support of our program. In their biweekly periodical, The Business News, they promote our program, so we reciprocate and promote their business news. If you're in business or thinking of going into business and you're not subscribed to the business news, gosh, for only $20 a year, you really should be. It comes out every 2 weeks, and it's going to keep you informed of what's going on in the business community so that you can take advantage of some of those opportunities. So thank you to all of our sponsors for helping to bring the program to you each weekend. We really appreciate their support. Sarah, we're in our last segment, and we've covered a lot of material this morning, a lot of area on estate planning and valuing a business, all really, really good information. Before we go any further, how would anyone get a hold of you if they wanted to talk to you about pursuing a conversation?
Sure. My phone number is 920-991-0404. You can call in and make an appointment.
I didn't write that fast enough.
991-0404. So that's kind of easy to remember that way. And I'm located on the corner of Northland Avenue and Mead Street in Appleton. And you can also look at my website and send me a message through there. It's www.legalbusinessedge.com.
Okay. With what we've covered this morning, we've covered really good material that people need to think about, folks who are in business. When I was a lender, people would run their business, and they'd have a relationship with the bank for 20, 25 years, and then they're getting older, and they wake up one morning and say, holy crap, I got to get rid of this thing. I don't know what to do. We want to avoid that, right?
Absolutely.
We don't want to. So now is the time.
Right. Just as you go through life, and there are different life-altering events that you want to adjust your estate plan to, you also want to look at the life of your company and align that with where you are in life. For instance, your children are grown, like Pat said earlier, and they're off being doctors and no one wants to be a lawyer. What am I going to do with my business? That's another time. Your succession.
You're just not going to retire, Sarah.
No, I'm going to retire someday. But your succession plan can evolve as the life of your business does,
right,
just as your estate plan does.
Exactly.
As you grow older and your children grow older or other life events happen. So it's a good idea to keep that in mind as your business, the life of your business is changing as well.
Exactly.
That's a great analogy that, you got to keep aware of where you are in a stage of your business because it does evolve.
Right.
And you do grow. And I think it's been very good, to talk about this today. It's really important for people to think about some things sometimes they don't want to think about. What is going to happen when I'm gone, one way or the other?
I'd like to go back to marital property law. You brought that up several times.
Correct, yes.
So I'm married. My lovely wife, Peggy, has been my spouse for many years, and thank you for hanging in there. But she shares half ownership with anything I own, and I share half ownership with anything she owns.
Sure.
I control my company. She doesn't control it, but she owns half of its worth.
Right. And upon your death, she would own it all.
Right.
Right.
So because she owns half of my company, if I went into bank, if I got in trouble with debtors and stuff like that, with creditors, I've become a big debtor. And all the creditors coming after me, my company, because she owns half of it, she's not responsible for paying any of that, correct?
Your company is at risk. Your LLC, you're an LLC, I know that.
Yeah.
Your company's assets are at risk, not her personal assets.
Yeah, and if I personally guarantee the loans to the bank for my company, but she does not guarantee it, she doesn't have to pay the loans back because she never signed a guarantee. Just because she owns half of it doesn't mean she's liable to pay the creditors.
That's correct.
I wanted to make
that
distinction for people listening out there that some spouses might be doing a business the other spouse doesn't agree with and will support it, but they don't agree with it. But there's no liability there on the part of the passive spouse to have to pay any bills of the business entity.
No,
because they own 50%.
Yeah, that's correct. That marital property issue comes in when there are those life-altering events of divorce or death or in your case, if the company goes bankrupt, it's the company's debt and your personal assets. But sometimes that gets muddy because your personal assets are also Peggy's.
When did marital property begin in Wisconsin?
I think it was in like 87, maybe?
I think
1987.
It was. Yep. And many other states have it, and we got on board. I think it's a fair law because there are too many people who take advantage of their business and don't support
the
family.
Well, sure, the idea was back then to protect women more in a divorce situation.
Yep. Well, we're coming to the end of our program. And
this is a point we ask our guests for a biz tip. So, Sarah, what could you leave us with today?
Better be a good one.
Yeah, it better be a good one. Look at where you are in life. Look at where you want to go. I know you don't want to work your whole life, so come up with a plan. See an attorney. If you don't have an operating agreement or you don't have a succession plan for your business, it's always good to see an attorney to put one in place.
And you have to look at that is not so much an expense as it is an investment, right?
Right.
You're investing in yourself.
Absolutely. It'll make the transition a lot less expensive, a lot less acrimonious if it's involving all your children. And it'll just be, look at it as making it easier for your
sleep
surviving
better.
Family.
And you'll sleep better at night, too. Because you know things are taken care of.
Yep.
Sarah, great program this morning. Thank you for coming
Thank you.
In and sharing all
Thanks
that
for
information
having me.
With us. It's good to have you on the show. And we'll be back next week. And you've been listening to BizTalk at 1150 WHBY 103.5 FM.